1994. Dr. Marsh, some personal background stuff. When and where were you born?
Erab, Alabama, October 12th, 1922.
What was Erab like?
250 people. No policemen. Sort of a trading post, really. Maybe 8 or 10 stores.
Well, it was Erab then, wasn't it?
Erab. It was misnamed. There's a fellow by the name of Stephen Tuttle Thompson who moved up to this area from the top of Brindley Mountain toward Gunnersville in the 50s, and he sent in to get a post office name for Grass Hill, a little community between here and Gunnersville, and Erab, and another place, I think was Mayapple, which was a little community between here and Carlin. And his youngest son was named Arad, A-R-A-D. And the post office came back designated A-R-A-B, Arab. So whether it was the old man's poor penmanship or somebody in Washington who couldn't read, we don't know. But this is how Arab got its usual name.
Okay.
This was a farming community.
Primary, that was primary industry.
Yeah, you see, by the time I came along, the homesteads had been, most of them, divided up into 40-acre tracts. Original homesteads were 160 acres, which is a quarter of a section of land. Now, some of the earliest settlers were able to get sections of land. My grandfather, for example, had a section of land out where the Gunnersville Erab Medical Center is, and section of land, 640 acres. But most of this country across the mountain here was settled in the 1880s, 1890s. A 160-acre homestead. You could buy a homestead then for $300 to $400, something like that. The early ones probably paid in the 1840s in Browns Valley, which is off the mountain, probably paid 2 bits an acre. I know of one man by the name of Ridgway came in this part of the state in the 1840s. Bought 30-something sections of land, half a bit.
That's what I can't conceive.
You see, if we'd had rich relatives back then and they bought, say, 5 sections of land, 3,000 acres, you and I wouldn't have to work. We'd just sit and look at all of our employees' work.
Who are your parents?
Albert G. and Ethel Lee Cox Marsh.
What did they do for a living?
Farmed. When we lived here, everybody farmed. There was no industry. 40-acre farms. Not much profit in that time you paid for your fertilizer. And some of them rented, like my dad did, tenant farmer. Time he paid for his fertilizer and his... paid his rent, a third of the cotton and a fourth of the corn and a third of the hay. Wasn't much left. But Daddy was lucky in that he was a good carpenter and he was able to supplement the income during periods when the farm didn't require him by carpentering. My grandfather, W.P. Marsh, was the law and order of this mountain for 50 years.
Yes.
He was Justice of Peace up here for 60 years, lived to be 95. He was the Judge Roy Bean of this area. I don't know anybody who loved him, but I don't know anybody who didn't respect him.
Yes, sir.
He was the one who was instrumental in getting the Federal Highway 231 through here. And an interesting story about that, when they got to the downtown area, the streets were not wide enough for the government regulation. So Grandpa, being the mayor, just condemned a certain footage off of frontage off of each store and widened the streets, and they turned him out of office. The next election, and the fellow who succeeded him only served 1 year, and they voted Grandpa back in.
Well,
because he was a go-getter.
231 is the lifeblood of ARAB. If we didn't have that, there wouldn't be much of an ARAB.
See, we've never had a railroad here, and that hindered industry here for years and years. We've never had a county high school. One of the governors promised us a county high school, but he was so drunk when he was up here promising, he didn't know what he said. So when he got back to Montgomery and sobered up, he gave it to Gunnersville.
Who was that governor?
I'm trying to remember. I don't know, really. Is either one or two men, and I wouldn't want to call their names because that would be they'd do one of them an injustice, or maybe both. I've heard my folks talk about that. They gave a big barbecue, thought sure that the governor was going to place the county school here. They shouldn't have thought that. Gunnersville's the county seat. It'll always be the hub of the county. The courts are there. County seat government's there. County school ought to have been in Gunnersville.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
Had two brothers, 7 years among us, or between us.
Each one?
Yeah, oldest, I'm the middle. The oldest was 7 years older than I, and the youngest was 7 years younger. The oldest got a degree in veterinary medicine at Auburn, and my youngest got a PhD in pharmacology and then turned around and made a dermatologist. He practiced in Lexington, Kentucky. My older brother's been dead 25 to 30 years.
Where'd you go to college?
Auburn. My older brother wanted to go to school, and my folks being tenant farmers, there's no way they could send any of us to school. So they said, well, we'll move down there and rent a farm. We'd make a living on the farm, and you boys will have to work your way. You'll have to buy your books, you'll have to pay your tuition, you'll have to buy your whatever else you need. And we rented a 60-acre farm. And I was old enough to take care of the farming, and my older brother painted for money, and my daddy went to doing carpenter work, and I did the farming. We all three worked our way through school. No help from anybody, wouldn't have taken it if it had been offered. We were raised in another generation where we didn't believe in handouts.
I understand that.
Back in the Depression, there would be somebody come on the Gunnersville ARAB road at least once a week, hungry. People in this generation can't remember about how near the country was on the verge of revolution and before Roosevelt took office. And I'm not advocating Roosevelt's policies at all, but I'm just stating fact. Nobody who came by and wanted something to eat would accept anything to eat unless they worked for it. And this country has lost something valuable in losing the work ethic. My daddy had just about as much use for a lazy person as he did the John Dillinger. So we all worked our way through school. Nobody ever gave us a dime. We wouldn't have taken it if they'd offered it. And if we can do it, anybody can do it. Nobody was poorer than we were. But my daddy lived to see, and mother too, all three of their children with earned doctor's degrees.
Wow. That's amazing. You said you served in the armed forces, served in the Navy.
U.S. Navy, served under General MacArthur.
Were you drafted or by choice?
No, sir. When the Japs attacked Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1942, it made me mad. And they weren't taking anybody then, under 21 years of age. And my daddy had to sign for me, and I went the early part of the spring of 42 to Birmingham, first time I'd ever been on a train. Went up there by myself, scared to death. Went up there and volunteered for the Navy. And I went to officer's training school at Northwestern University and got a commission, and then served in the 7th Fleet under MacArthur all the way from New Guinea through the Philippines. I did not get to Japan. We were getting ready, making preparation to go when the war ended in 1st of September 1945. MacArthur was a great general. I didn't like him then because whoever was there in his position, we would not have liked. We had to have a scapegoat. But reading back through all that he did, he accomplished a great, great deal with limited resources. He was a brilliant strategist. And about all people have ever come up with, they didn't like about him, two things. One, his strutting. He was a strutter. He was flamboyant. And the other is that he should not have defied Truman and been fired. Hey!
Go ahead. What was the attitude of the people in the armed forces? With most of the people wanted to be there, or they didn't want to be there?
I would think probably 75 to 80% wanted to be there. You see, the circumstances of our getting into the war, the country was almost hysterical after the Japanese sneak attack on Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It made all of us fighting mad.
Did a lot of people from Alabama want to go?
Yes, sir. It was sort of the red-blooded, in quotes, the red-blooded thing to do. It was a totally different situation than the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Korea's what, 7 or 8,000 miles away from here. Vietnam never was delineated. MacArthur begged Lyndon Johnson on MacArthur's deathbed to stay out of off the continent of Asia. And it was a controversial thing from the very first day. But World War II, nothing could have galvanized into a unifying force like the Japanese sneak attack. See, they were still negotiating. And the honorable thing to do is to declare war before you strike. But they didn't do that. And another thing, I hate to say this, and I don't know who will read this or who will hear it, but the Japanese were a mean enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a code of sumara.
Yes.
That death for the emperor was life's highest honor. And they felt like dying in battle was bringing glory to themselves and to the emperor. For this reason, comparatively very few surrendered. They looked upon surrender as cowardice. By mean enemy, I mean we just had to kill them. War is not a pretty picture.
No.
We have not experienced it. There's no way I can sit here and tell you the horrors of war.